speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
I think the last 2 weeks might have been about miracles. Not the working of miracles. That's no longer the case. But about the asking of miracles. I've received 3 different questions about miracles. And in fact, someone asked me to do a lesson about miracles and the miracles that Jesus performed. One was, can you tell me the Bible passage or passages where miracles ceased? And then another question dealt with miracles and providence. Is it possible that modern day things that we see happening that we cannot explain, that we would say is providence, is it possible that those are modern day miracles? I hope to answer these things in the context of the lesson tonight, but also more specifically in regard to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and His usage of miracles. To begin with, let's start to define what a true miracle is. Our current society seems to be very confused when we think about miracles. They use and misuse that term on an ongoing basis. When a child is born, oftentimes people want to say that it is a miracle that that child is born, especially if there are complications involved. If someone survives a car accident and the car accident is really bad, a lot of people want to say that it is a miracle. I remember years ago, whenever I was very young in high school, foolish, doing some crazy things, I jumped on the back of a pickup truck and fell off head first. And I don't want to hear anyone say that explains a lot now, Kevin. In that I was taken to the hospital. Now, all this happened actually on Christmas Day. I was taken to the hospital and the doctor looked at me and he says, "You ought to be dead." And he says, "I know why you're not. It is a miracle." That was no miracle. What we find in regard to society is that we can know what miracle is. Why? Because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10, is that every word has significance or has meaning to it. And also, when we look at all the terminology that God gives us in and through the Scripture, God wants us to realize is that He is not the author of confusion. And what we find in the world today, when it comes to what we're speaking about tonight, miracles, people are confused. And it's not because God is confusing, but rather because mankind is confused in regard to the way in which they approach the Scripture, and their approach to Scripture is then led them to the confusion where they are in regard to miracles and other such doctrinal matters. Going back to the Old Testament Scripture, we find is that the miracles were present time and again, even during the days of old. And the Hebrew word, palad, actually literally signifies a sign of amazement. And what is under consideration here, as you would explore the etymology or the history of that terminology, we find is that individuals recognized a miracle to be something that was beyond nature, something that the average individual was not able to accomplish on their own. And what we also understand as we consider the Old Testament Scripture is that God was involved in the working of miracles. In the New Testament Scripture, nothing changes. God is also involved in and through the working of miracles, and the Greek terminology that is presented for miracles signifies a powerful sign. Again, something supernatural, something that man is not able to accomplish on his own accord. Miracles are not God's intervention in providence. When we think about miracles, miracles is indeed supernatural. It's something that is happening outside of the realm of possibility. And in this, though, when we think in regard to providence, providence is God working through our prayers. It is God working through the laws of nature that He has established, as well as God working through humanity that He has put into existence and living upon the face of this earth. Providence is not God working miracles in this modern age. As we think in regard to the characteristics of miracles, they were performed in the presence of many witnesses. So many people today, when they look to miracles, they want to say that someone performed a miracle, and you ask them, how do you know that they performed a miracle? And they will say, well, because they said that they did. Friends, simply because an individual claims to be able to do something doesn't mean that they're able to do that. When we think in regard to biblical miracles, there were always individuals who witnessed the miracles that the Bible speaks of in the Old and in the New Testament alike. Not only did we find that there was an individual present, but oftentimes there were multiple witnesses able to testify to the end that a miracle had indeed been performed. Each biblical miracle produced an immediate result. Oftentimes, the things that people call a miracle today, time has to take place in order for this effect that they're classifying as a miracle to come about. Take into consideration childbirth. People say that whenever a child is born, that is a miracle. How long has it taken for the child to come into this world? From the time of conception, figurative and more than likely, there's about 9 months in the developmental stages for that child. And that's not a miracle, that's God working by all means in the womb, and even, I believe, God working behind the scenes providentially in the development of that child. But yet in this, when that child comes out, there is time that has gone by to bring forth that child to the delivery state. And other things, as individuals would classify a miracle, and individuals in the hospital, and they are in ICU and they're receiving medications and things, and maybe they're unconscious and they regain consciousness, and people say that is a miracle. Friends, that is again God working through modern technology and medications and such. And in that, time had to take its toll, as well as the individual gaining rest. And certainly God is working to bring them back to a better state of health or to a normal walk of life, as we will sometimes say. As we look at miracles, miracles produced an immediate result. And then also we understand from a biblical standpoint is that when God worked miracles, they were complete. There wasn't any of this, well, it's going to take some time. It was very complete. And all the individuals who were present understood this. Well, what about the miracles of our Lord? John reveals the purpose of our Lord's miracles, and this was a part of our scripture reading just a few moments ago. There are seven specific miracles that are presented in and through the book of John. Now, I want to understand that there are more miracles than seven in the book of John, but there are seven specific miracles presented in the book of John to classify in regard to who Jesus is, and also then to produce faith in individuals that they will be able to obey God with full assurance in regard to their relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus perform miracles? To begin with, I believe that the working of Christ in a miraculous manner helped to establish His identity as deity and the Messiah. For years, the prophets had prophesied. They had said that the Messiah, the anointed of God, was going to come. And when Christ came performing miracles, it enabled Him to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, without any question about it at all, that indeed He not only fit the criteria, but that He was indeed the one that the prophets had said would come. It also helped to establish His deity, meaning that He is God. We understand from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He pre-existed in heaven with God as God, whoever or whatever this Word is, Logos in the original language. If you go to John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, when the Word became flesh, we understand without any question that this is in reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of God and our Savior. And as we look in regard to His life and the things that He was doing from signs or miracles, it proved that He was deity sent forth from God. Why do I say that? In the book of John chapter 3, verses 1 through verse 5, as Jesus interviews with Nicodemus, Nicodemus identified, "For surely you are a man come from God, for no man can do these things." What things? The signs or the working of miracles that Christ would perform, unless God be with him. So Christ performed miracles to establish His identity as deity as well as the Messiah. But friends, also, I believe that the Bible identifies concerning the miracles of Christ is that He performed miracles to demonstrate God's love and compassion for mankind. God loves us so much. In fact, a scripture that is quoted, in fact, it is the most quoted verse of the Bible, is John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I contend that that is God's statement in regard to love. But at the same time, we understand that God loves us because He demonstrates. Now, in an ultimate sense, we realize that God demonstrates His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through verse 9. But also, though, during the life and teachings of Christ, when Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, mankind needed to hear more than God loves you. And because Christ represented the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, as He went about performing miracles, we understand that He demonstrated God's love and compassion. In fact, as you read from passages such as Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34, Luke chapter 7 and verse 13, you will read in the context there that Christ acted performing miracles. Why? Because He had compassion upon these individuals. And if it were not for passages such as this, we might not fully understand to the level of which we are able to see today in regard to God's love and compassion had Christ not performed these miracles and those words in regard to His compassion be present for our reading and understanding. Also, though, as we think in regard to the reasons that Jesus performed miracles, it was to glorify our Heavenly Father amongst the lost and dying world. The Scripture that I want to take us back to is in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 18. The Scripture there identifies that no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in His bosom, He has declared Him. The word declared in the original language is exegete, which literally means that He has explained the Father. Christ came to explain our Heavenly Father, to identify His eternal existence. But friends, also to identify the Father's eternal plan, the fullness of the Godhead, and the Godhead's plan. In this then, also, we understand is that as He came, He wanted to connect with man, and in that connection with man, to help them to understand the love that God has and the plan that God has for eternal redemption. As Christ reaches out with this message that He is indeed the Savior of the world, in His performing of miracles, it helped to open up the eyes and the hearts of individuals unto the message that He was proclaiming as He was working these miracles and signs in and amongst the people of the world. As Christ was performing miracles, friends, He oftentimes would say is that He came to do the will of the work or the food. His food was to do the will of the Father. And the working of miracles was indeed a very vital part of that work that Christ did while He was here. And hence, through His working of miracles, He glorified God time and again. But then in like figure, as we look in regard to Jesus and His working of miracles, I believe that He worked miracles to produce faith within the hearts of those who were seeking God. These individuals were not blessed to the level that we are blessed today in that today we have the Bible. We have the Word of God to read and to study about God, to read and to study about the miracles of Christ, to read and to study about God's plan of redemption, and also to look what God has prepared for us beyond. These individuals did not have that, and therefore, Jesus performed miracles to capture their attention and to help educate these individuals in regard to exactly the power of God and what God wants in relation to man, that man must serve Him in order for them to have hope beyond this life. As Jesus worked miracles, the Scripture oftentimes reveals unto us is that the people believed. Why? Because of the signs or because of the miracle that was presented in their presence. What were the reasons in regard to Jesus working miracles? many, as the Scripture would lay out. But at the same time, God wants you and me to realize, He wants the entire world to know, is that there was a termination of all miracles. Miracles remained until the completion of the Scripture. I said a few moments ago is that in the first century they were not as blessed as what you and I are blessed to have the Word of God, and therefore there was a need to signify, to testify, to show that indeed Jesus was the Christ and that the apostles were indeed men sent forth from God. Today, we do not need that. Why? Because we have God's completed Word. And the Scripture identifies to us is that miracles were going to be around until that which was perfect came. And in the religious world, a lot of people say that that's speaking in reference to the coming of Christ. Friends, that does not fit the context. The context actually reveals is that the perfect is in reference to the Word of God. His complete unity of faith or system of faith that was to be developed. In fact, I also use, and I believe rightfully so, from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through verse 13. If you read verses 11 and verse 12, he identifies miracles or areas of miracles, working of miracles in and amongst God's people. He established certain ones with miraculous abilities, and then the reason for that was to draw God's people together. In verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, till or until we come to the unity of the faith. If you read from our modern translations, the King James and even the New King James and other translations that are out there, you're going to see until we come to unity of faith. And that's not a proper translation. If you go to the original language, it's until we come to the unity of the faith. That article is very important. Why? Because that article helps us to understand is that we're speaking in reference to a system of faith. What is that system of faith? It is God's inspired message. It is the completed Scripture that you and I are blessed with today. And because we have the completed Scripture before us to be able to read concerning God and matters pertaining to salvation, we no longer need miracles. The Spirit was no longer given, also, we understand, after the apostles died. The Scripture identifies that our Lord Jesus received the Spirit without measure. When Christ came to this world, the Bible tells us is that He emptied Himself and took upon Himself the form of a bondservant. Now, with that understanding that He emptied Himself, I want us to also realize is that He still existed in this world. He still walked upon the face of the earth as 100% God. But the Bible also, though, identifies to us is that in emptying Himself, He existed as 100% man. And in this, a part of the way in which I believe that He emptied Himself was His ability to work miracles. Why do I say that? If you read in the Bible, in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verses 27 and following, the Scripture there in the context reveals that Jesus Christ performed miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hence, a work of the Holy Spirit is enabled those of the first century, the apostles, to work miracles. Hence, also then, we understand that the Holy Spirit, that was His role in and amongst Jesus Christ our Lord. As we look in regard to Christ and His working of miracles, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He received the Spirit without measure. The apostles, though, received the Holy Spirit with limitation or with measures. And they received an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them as they were gathered together in Jerusalem. Read from the context of Acts chapter 1. There in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And it's there at Pentecost, when the Lord's church is established, that these men are able to work as they are carried about by the Holy Spirit with the proclamation of Christ through the establishment of the Lord's kingdom at that given day. And from that day forward, we realize is that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and also in the working of God with the ability to perform miracles. As we look, though, then, in regard to the way in which others received the Holy Spirit was not poured out upon them the way in which He was upon Christ. He was not poured out upon them in the way in which He was unto the apostles. But rather, the Bible tells us that it was through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given. Acts chapter 8 and verse 18. Acts chapter 19 verses 1 through verse 6. In this we see is that when the apostles died then, because it was only through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Spirit was given, when the apostles died, then there was no more passing on or giving of the Holy Spirit. Well, what does that say then about individuals who say that they have the Holy Spirit? Friends, they don't know what you're talking about. Or they're lying. And in that, we realize is that a lot of times people will say these things out of confusion because that's what they've been told and what they've been taught and what they truly believe. But yet the Bible identifies that unless they were there when the apostles laid hands, and friends, we don't have any people that old, amen? They cannot fit the criteria of which God identifies concerning those times. Faith also, the Bible tells us, must be produced today through biblical study. Why did Jesus perform miracles? In part to develop or to produce faith in individuals. And again, at various intervals, we see that whenever Christ performed miracles, they believed because of the signs. But today, the Bible tells us, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus identified, going back to the context where our Scripture reading came from tonight, in John chapter 20, if you go back into that context around verses 28 and 29, we have a situation where Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas. Christ has appeared before the apostles, and Thomas is not there. And Thomas says in that context, actually if you go all the way back around verse 19, Thomas says in that context, unless I see with my own eyes, unless I'm able to take my finger and put it into that wound, I'm not going to believe. Be careful what you ask for, right? Or at least if you're Thomas. The Lord appeared unto Thomas and gave him the opportunity to do what he said was necessary. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. He believed because he saw. And here's what the Lord says. Blessed are you because you believe. And this is paraphrased. But he says, those individuals who believe and have not seen, friends, that's what it's all about. God doesn't want us to believe based out of miracles, but rather based out of our love for Him, out of what we read in His inspired message, His love note to man, if you would, out of those words that He has given us because of His love for us. And you and I would do well, and in fact the entirety of the world would do and well and please God if we would be like the Bereans. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says concerning the Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the Scriptures daily. We need to search the Scripture daily to strengthen our faith in God. Those who are outside of Christ, who do not have faith, read and study the Bible daily to develop that faith, because that's the only way in which you are ever going to come to a belief and understanding of our God. As we look in regard to the termination of miracles, God revealed that the Holy Spirit serves as our guarantee even today. We do not receive the Holy Spirit in a literal sense. Now, there are some, if you talk to people in the religious world, in the denominational realm, they believe that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Even some in the church, in the Lord's body, churches of Christ, say that there is some sort of a literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Friends, in the first century, yes. Why? Because of the laying on of the apostles' hands. Today, I do not believe that that is the case. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit, but rather the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 is eternal life. That's what God's gift is to man. And as long as you and I live in accordance to God's will, the Holy Spirit serves as our guarantee unto salvation. Somebody says, now how can that be? How can we know that we have a guarantee of salvation if it's through the Holy Spirit that this guarantee is given? And yet at the same time, Kevin, you're saying that we don't receive the Holy Spirit in a literal sense? How can we know that we are saved? Friends, the way that we can know that we are saved, Paul says to the saints at Rome, in Rome, in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and verse 16, says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit if we are children of God. How does the Spirit do that? Through our reading and studying of the Scripture. If our life aligns with the will of God, then we are children of God. Faithful children of God. In fact, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John says concerning the context of his message there, he says that these things were written that you may know that you have eternal life. Who's responsible for the conveyance of God's message to man? Don't anyone say inspired men. Yes, they were. But who led them? Who carried them? The Holy Spirit. And therefore, as we read and study and we find our salvation in the Scripture, that we are indeed counted as faithful children of God, hence the Holy Spirit in that level, to that degree, serves as our guarantee because He's responsible for the Word of our salvation. The Holy Spirit must be studied today. Why? Because He is a part of the Scripture. The miracles that we read must be studied today. Why? Because so many people are confused. We must not neglect any study of the Scripture. We must present the whole counsel of God. And as we do, we must speak as the oracles of God. Because if we do not, we're going to lead to the chaos, the confusion in the world. Friends, if you're here today and you're not a member of the Lord's Church, we want you to know that God loves you. We love you. And God, in His love for you, has given you a means of being able to be forgiven of sin, and that is in Christ. The way in which we access this salvation is by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God, submitting ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then being raised to walk in newness of life. It may be also that we have members of the Lord's Church here who have strayed, gone back into the world, and therefore you realize that you no longer had the assurance, guarantee of your salvation. Friends, in that, God stands willing and ready to forgive you. We stand also willing to pray with you tonight to receive God's forgiveness. If you're subject to the call, please come.